Good afternoon and welcome to our next podcast at Middleton Primary School. I'm very excited to do this. This is now my second podcast and I'm joined by Mr. Beaumont this afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Beaumont.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's my second podcast also.
It's your second one as well. So this one is something that I've been looking forward to for a very long time, actually. And it's something that Mr. Beaumont and I'd say very passionate about. We've talked about this kind of area for a long time. We're going to be talking about learning behaviours. Now, we've been told we've only got 20 minutes, so it's something that I think Mr. Bell and I could probably talk about for a very long time. We often have conversations about learning behaviours and attitude, don't we, Mr. Bowman?
Yeah, quite often, in lots of contexts, yes.
So I think best place to start then really is, what do we think we mean in terms of learning behaviours then?
Opening the floor to me. I think learning behaviours are the behaviours that people need to navigate the challenges of life is probably the best way that I could describe it, because when we've spoken about it, obviously academics are extremely important, but academics are like the gateway into most things, and you know, they get you through the door. And then it's what you do next that's going to keep you in the organisation or company, whatever it is that you do, and it's going to help you progress. And I think, you know, the curriculum broadly doesn't focus on that as much, does it? But it is linked, because, you know, the better they are at these learning behaviours, the better their you know, academic success is going to be. So it's more of a holistic version of learning.
Yeah, very much so. And there was almost a quote in there, and we're going to come back to quotes later because I know you love quotes, and I often pinch your quotes. But yeah, I was just going to follow on from that. For me, it is teaching children how to learn. And I think we sometimes take for granted that our children will just get on with their learning, get on with their work. And actually, I think we've got a job to teach our children, when we talk about our values, how to be resilient and how to approach certain challenges. And it's almost like a shift in the fact that actually we don't want them to get things right all the time. That's not life. You know, life is tough, life is challenging, like you said. We are going to make mistakes, but it's like you said, it's what we do from that and how we learn from our mistakes. So yeah, for me, those learning behaviours, it is what they apply to different situations, in tough challenges, and how they learn from the behaviours they show.
Yeah.
For me, which you know, you and I think is really, really important. You know, at Middleton we think is really important as well. So, and we have got quite an emphasis on learning behaviours at Middleton, haven't we? And I think even before I joined the school, even just as I joined the school, we had various conversations around learning behaviours. So why do we at Middleton then think there's such an emphasis, or why do we place such an emphasis on learning behaviours?
I think, obviously, I've been at Middleton longer than you.
You have.
I'm not even sure how long. but I started to just notice a sort of shift in things like the attention that children would pay to things, what would happen if it would go wrong, the sort of attitude of, oh, that's enough. Oh, that's good enough. I've done the minimum, so that's okay. Rather than really stretching them. I think bigger picture, there's a lot of instant gratification with things now. There's a lot of things that are, you know, I heard something, you know, there was this whole YouTube boom, and now because of TikTok, people's attention spans are now only 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is they need to be concentrating for longer periods of time. So I think it's, as society changes, these things are still as important, but maybe the children are not getting them in the ways that they used to. So we've got, you know, work with parents to provide that for the children.
Yeah, and I think you talk about society. There's been a change in society, and you talk about perhaps the jobs. You talked about TikTok and YouTube, etc. The jobs that these children are going to go into, and about giving these children the tools and the skills to be able to apply it to that, isn't it? But
yeah, the world's changing a lot. I mean, it's changed in the last 10 years how much technology's moved on. It's only going to move on probably faster.
Yeah.
So the jobs that they're going to do probably don't even exist at the moment.
Yeah. And I think when we talk about Middleton, why is there such an emphasis at Middleton? You think about our values and our motto, learning for life. And you talk very rightly about the academic side of things and children achieving academically. There's more to it, isn't there? Mm. There's more to it. And, you know, what one of the things that we always talk about is, yeah, getting children's feet in the door, sending them off to secondary school. Yeah, we can send them off academically really, really well. But when I've spoken to any employer outside of school, they're looking for children or people, adults that can problem solve and that can work in teams, that can support each other, that can communicate and listen. And those skills are vital, aren't they, moving forward?
And they are, and they're kind of the... I mean, we could go down a big rabbit hole here, but, you know, the reality is we test children on their own with a piece of paper where there's one right answer, and there could be lots of right answers to problems, as you say. We have to collaborate in most jobs. Yeah. So it's marrying the two together, I think.
Yeah, and it's giving those children the skills to notice actually sometimes there is one right answer and they will get that one answer, but it's actually noticing actually that when they've got to solve a problem, sometimes there isn't one answer. They have to come up with different solutions, which is really important. So yeah, there is a massive emphasis on that. We want children to leave Middleton with all the skills and attributes to go on and be successful at secondary school and in life, really. And if we can do, you know, just a small percentage of that and get them prepared, and I think for me, hopefully one day they'll look back and go, ah, I remember what that was all about now. I now get it, because it's hard to teach the children this, isn't it? Because it can be hard for adults.
Yeah, and I think sometimes I say this a lot. I'll say things to children, especially in a sporting context, and oh, he's going on at us again. And then I'll go somewhere and, you know, the coach or someone else will say it to them in the same thing, in just a slightly different way. And they go, oh, yeah, I get it now. And I'm like, oh, I wish I'd have said it like that, you know. But sometimes it is just that fresh voice, isn't it?
Yeah. But in that context, in that moment sometimes as well. And that's what I think we're striving to do at Middleton is give children those experiences so actually you get those light bulb moments. Okay, I get it. Mm. I understand it. And, you know, it takes time. It takes practice, doesn't it? So... yeah, we've done a huge amount of work on learner behaviours, and I think even before we introduced Commando Joe's, which we'll talk about in a minute, we were already talking about learner behaviours and the children, and you know, we do support the children in a huge amount of ways. But maybe we can have a little chat about Commando Joe's. It seems fitting now that obviously we've been with Commando Joe's, and I think it's about 3 years, the journey that we've been on with them. So how does Commando Joe's help, and what do we do in school to help the children with their learning behaviours?
I think it's interesting that when we do things like Pupil of the Week, we hear a lot of sort of the values that we've obviously taken from Commando Joe's being spoken about weekly at those things. You know, this child's shown resilience here, they've been empathetic there, for example. So I think it's kind of become very intertwined into things that we look for. But in terms of what Commando Joe's is essentially it's a mission, a task, where most of the time either it's impossible or it becomes never ending. So there's not an outcome where they can go, yep, done it, completed it. It's designed for them to fail, to get upset, to find it difficult, and, you know, almost manufacture those moments so that then they can be teaching moments. And, you know, a lot of the instructors we've had are ex-military, so they will talk to the children in quite a direct way, which is different. And I think there is a place for that sort of direct instruction. So it's just a broadening their experience to maybe the types of feedback they're going to get as well.
It for me, it's a platform, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the teachers, for the school to build on. And I remember when I first kind of heard of Commando Joe's, and, you know, went to see it in other schools, went to see it in secondary schools, and it was we did really think about how could this work here at Middleton, and going to see it at secondary schools and saying, yeah, it works. And it was that kind of real, yes, giving them that platform, giving them the opportunity to fail. But for me, it was then discussing, okay, so what should it look like? What should you do next? And then building on that within the next mission. So I think it's safe to say when the children first started to where they are now, there's been quite a difference.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's like everything. Some children were drawn to it, yeah. love it straight away. Some fans, some still do find it really challenging because, you know, it's so different.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the nature of the beast. We want them to be challenged and stretched. But I think from a reassuring point of view, obviously it's done in a safe environment, you know. It's done in school where, yes, they might feel uncomfortable, but the reality is they're safe, you know. They're not who harm's going to come to them. No. It's like when we talk about sort of safeguarding, that feeling of exciting, but maybe slightly dangerous, like that sort of idea. So it's very different to classroom. And some people will come and look at it and be like, what's going on? Yeah. But there's so much going on, so much learning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for what we did, the way we did it is involving our teachers. We did huge amounts of training with our teachers around it. And we've actually weaved it into our PE curriculum, haven't we, in terms of mm-hmm. dance and gymnastics and Commando Joe's. So, you know, we do have an instructor-led program, so we do use Commando Joe's. And as Mr. Beaumont said, they have a military background, so we work very closely with them. They to deliver the missions. But the teacher's job is very much to take that on into the classroom and kind of work with the children. So, yeah, we do a huge amount with Commando Joe's. We've done a lot with them. It's changed a lot the way in which we use Commando Joe's. We offer mentoring now, so our instructor will work with the children at breakfast club and after school club. Some of those children, you know, just need that guidance, just need to be set up for the day. And again, it gives the instructor a chance at the end of the day to speak to the children about their day and how things have gone and discuss that with them. But also within that, what's been really successful is the mentoring, is the opportunities for Commando Justin now to speak to their children. So how important is that kind of follow-up with those children and kind of chat to the children about how they've got on and what to do next?
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about it as you were talking. I was thinking it. Some of the success that I've seen is different children excel. You know, you do have those loud children who have got loads of ideas, but then you also get some children who sort of come through and, you know, they're sort of members of the team for a bit, and then all of a sudden you see them and they're like, well, they're actually in charge. They've listened to everyone and they've maybe put it across so everyone feels happy rather than just the loud one who's telling everyone and some of them are unhappy. I think it develops across the weeks, and you know, I don't think it can be you know, underestimated how important it could be. You know, it really could be, especially, you know, I can see you're going to go on to talk about, you know, sort of mental health, well-being, that sort of stuff. Like, if we can build, you know, if children feel confident in situations, you know, that I think that can only be positive.
Yeah, I think when we first started this out, even before we started with Commando Joe's, we kind of set it like a 4-year kind of vision, but I mean, it's even going to go beyond that, isn't it? It's going to be something that's kind of interweaved within everything, and it's forever changing. The way in which we saw Commando Joe's work and learning behaviours has changed, you know, as we, you know, year on year, term on term, it changes, doesn't it? But it, you know, even so, when you look at the curriculum now, it's now we go even further where we discuss those values in lessons. So we have lessons that are dedicated to our values of resilience. So trying now to make those links within a lesson, you know, what does resilience look like in a maths lesson? What problems are you going to come up against? And how can you draw upon what you've learned in those missions and apply it to a problem? And I think it's safe to say that's where we're at the moment, is trying to get that transition from those missions. Because I think 3 years on now, the children can, you know, they can talk the talk, they know all these values, they know what it all means, they can tell you confidently in assemblies and missions. But I think the next bit, it's a challenging bit, and we'll obviously continue to work on it, is getting them to realise in that moment, you know, when you see certain children in that moment, you think that's when you needed those experiences, learning behaviours. It's tricky. As I said, some adults struggle with it, don't they? And it is challenging. But for me, it's now getting it into those children to realise, actually, this is where I need those strategies that I learned.
And I think when we first went into it, one of the things that I heard said a lot was, our children are used to getting things right. They're used to success. Yeah. And I still think that's true. I think, you know, they are, you know, the range of things that children come in and tell us they do outside of school and that they're good at and they excel at, well, if it's kind of great, that's fantastic, but it's about, you know, those times when you're going to get a knockback and a pushback, even on those things you're really good at, like, can we give you the confidence to be consistent? Because, you know, that's probably the most important skill, is just being able to do it day after day after day.
Yeah. Consistency, and that, you know, one of our values is excellence, and it is about that consistency and maintaining that to achieve that excellence, isn't it? And it's been fascinating, and it's something that obviously Middleton's really embraced. It really fits into our curriculum now, and, you know, it has gone beyond that. And I've started to mention the mentoring and the sort of the pastoral side of things like that. What sort of impact do you think it has on sort of, you know, other aspects of school, like behaviour, attendance, mental health, well-being, that sort of stuff? What other impact have you seen, or what could you see it having an impact in the future?
I think if children believe they have the choice, and they understand that a lot of what, you know, what gets thrown at them is a choice. You know, do I get annoyed by this? Do I take it as a lesson? Do I make excuses? You know, whichever one of those things you choose to do, you have made that choice. So ultimately, you are in control. And if you feel like you're in control, that's a much happier position to be in, even if you're in control of a bad situation, than feeling like you're helpless. And I do think, you know, with behaviour, you know, coping with, you know, feeling your emotions, but then dealing with your reaction to that emotion that's so hard. Like, I'm terrible at that, you know, you know, at times. So I'm not sitting here and preaching, but I just think we just don't talk about it enough.
No.
You know, we're British, stiff upper lip. Yeah. You know, the way that we're sort of, you know,
we have to accept it, get on with it, and that's the way it is.
And actually, I think we could do more, couldn't we? Like, to make children feel that they are in control of certain things. Obviously, they're not. They have to come to school. You know, they have to do English and maths, but they're in control of a lot more than they think they are.
Yeah, and it's giving them those opportunities and those experiences, and teaching them. You know, there's been some huge success stories across the school. You know, a lot of children have benefited from this, but, you know, I remember there was one last year in Sports Day, is one that stands out for me, where, you know, there was a young lady who was desperately wanting to win a race, and she was winning all the way around, and she got pipped. So you laugh,
I know what you're talking about.
But for me, like, maybe a year ago, she would have perhaps given up, because she would have perhaps even not thought about it. She would have gone, well, they're going to beat me anyway, so I'm not going to bother. But she was there. She got upset after the race. But for me, what was fantastic was she took her time and she made her choice, and she came and said, I'm sorry about the way I reacted there. I really wanted to win. And for me, something like that, when the children can go away and reflect on things and go, right, I've got a choice here. I can carry on sulking. I can carry on just, you know, blaming everybody else, or even not even give it a go. But to then turn around and say, yeah, do you know what? The way I reacted, it wasn't great. I'm sorry about that. And I think she'll learn from that.
Further to that, after she'd calmed down, she actually came over to me and said, if I was to do that again, what do you think I should have done differently? And she was talking about the race rather than her reaction. And, you know, people are competitive. I'm very competitive. And, you know, I've done things, you know, in rage of losing. So I wasn't, you know, I don't hold that against her. But, you know, to even have the maturity to think, okay, I got it wrong, but, you know, what about next time? I was like, wow. I was like, this is good. I mean, yeah, I had another one. It was a young man who, again, wasn't very physically active and was quite self-conscious. And there was a period where we got big into the skipping. We had the skipping ropes.
Yeah.
And you can't really teach someone how to skip. It's just
doing
it. And he practiced and practiced and practiced. And I didn't know this. And then all of a sudden, one of the TAs said, oh, come over, come and look, come and watch this. Yeah. And it wasn't just skipping. He was like hundreds in a row. And I was like, wow, like, you've really persevered with that for something that you felt self-conscious about as well. That's another thing that sort of sticks out for me.
That perseverance.
Yeah, that perseverance. Yeah.
And that drive to not give up and actually, you know, realise that some things take a lot longer to get there, and it's that perseverance and drive, isn't it? But yeah, there's certainly been a lot of success stories across the whole school, but they're just a couple that kind of that I remember. But you know, obviously something that we are very passionate about at school, and I suppose, you know, what parents listening to this podcast, probably in their thousands, you know, what can they do to support us with what we're doing here at Learn, with the learning behaviours and the command led Joes and with the children, and the fact that, you know, we want to set our children up for life and give them these skills. What sort of things, what words of wisdom would you give to our parents?
Obviously, I've only got a 14-month-year-old, so...
need a lot of patience?
Yeah. But I think it's fascinating watching him, because he does not care how many times he gets it wrong. He does get frustrated. There's definitely a bit of a temper there. But he'll just keep going and going and going. And sometimes obviously, being a PE teacher helps me with this. I actually have to stop myself interfering. And just let them get on with it. It might look ugly and it might not look perfect, but there's so much more that they've gained from just learning to do it themselves. And I think, you know, I think we all want our children to be successful, and sometimes it's easy to sort of say, oh no, just do it like this. But actually sometimes just let them go with it.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they're motivated by it, like nurture that motivation, but let it be their thing that you support. That's probably what I would say.
I agree, and it's giving them that time to reflect and say, okay, so what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What can we do about it? Because I think it's life, isn't it? You know, we're going to have knockbacks, we're going to have failures, it's part of life, but it's how we grow as a person. And I think as a parent, if you could just encourage your child just to reflect and think about things and go, right, what can you do about it? What would you do differently next time to succeed? But yeah, I think you're right. The younger years, I remember going down to foundation, the children are constantly, you know, working things out for themselves. And, you know, the teachers and the TAs, they're not kind of supporting them. They're letting them get on with it and work things out for themselves. But I know it's hard as a parent, you know, we're constrained with time and things like that, we've got places to be and things like that, but if we can pick our moments when we can just go, do you know what, I'm going to let them do that, I'm going to let them get on with it, does it matter how it looks? I remember my son making a sandwich, and, you know, it looked the most awful sandwich in the world, but he made his own sandwich, and I didn't, you know, at the end, the end product, he'd made a sandwich. He cleared the mess up, and, you know, it took a long time, but I think if we can have little moments where that we can just step back and let the children do things, work it out for themselves and reflect, I think that would be a bit of advice. But obviously not telling anyone how to parent, because there is no manual for that, and there is no right or wrong reason.
It's very situational, isn't it?
But but I think it is just it's difficult, isn't it? But so I think we're kind of getting towards the end of it now, and I think it's probably fair to say it's best to end on a quote. Mr. Beaumont likes a quote. So I've asked him to have a little think about perhaps his favourite quote, and maybe I'll have a little think about mine. What's your five kind of favourite quote that kind of links to learning behaviours and what we're trying to do in terms of learning behaviours?
So something that if I've got to make a big decision, I'll try and go back to is hard choices, easy life, easy choices, hard life. So, you know, the easy thing to do would be to snooze the alarm in the morning.
Yeah.
But the result of that is I stay in bed too long and I don't get done what I need to do. The hard thing to do is get up every day and get that done. And you can literally apply that to, you know, every situation. You know, do you tell someone the truth, which might upset them at that time, but further down the line, at least you've saved them a bit of time? Or do you try and, you know, what's the word? You know, make it fluffy or just ignore it, don't tell them the truth, and then later down the line it becomes more of a bigger thing. I think that's something that I always try and go back to.
That's a good quote, and I think one of my favourite ones that I always use, and it kind of links to the learning behaviours and the attitude, is that if you only do what the teacher tells you to do, you're not doing enough. And I think that's what we're trying to instill in these children, is you can just do what you're told to do, but actually if you want to go that extra mile, if you want to achieve, what could you do next? Don't just kind of sit there and think, well, I've done that, I'm done, feet up, okay, what can I do next? How can I be better? How can I improve? What can I do next? And that kind of attitude, if we can instill that in our children, that's only going to set them up for life. So, yeah, I think your one's probably better than mine, but it's things that kind of stick in your mind at the time, isn't it?
So, yeah.
But, yeah, as I say, I think we could probably carry on talking for a long time about learning behaviours and Commander Joe's, but I hope that's given you a kind of a flavour as to what we're trying to do. If you've got any questions around learning behaviours or Commander Joe's, please come in and speak to your class teacher or come and speak to Miss Beaumont and I. Next podcast is on e-safety and social media with Mr. Restall and Mr. Hughes. And I believe that will be available, I think, just before April time, Easter time. So, Miss Beaumont, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Enjoyed the chat.
Thank you very much. Thank you.